The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "This is the first. Hear, O Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than He,' and to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the fact that the wrong team won yesterday is far, far less important than it may feel to some of us right now. But you, and me, every one of us, is far, 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 far more important than you could ever imagine or think. It's at the heart of the good news, of our faith, of why we're here, even at so many sporting events. I don't know if it was there at East Lansing yesterday, but how often we see signs that say 3:16 or John 3:16, right? That passage that many of us know by heart, "For God so loved the world." That's the beginning, right? That's what John is stating, what God is revealing to us, that the creator of the universe, who made all these billions of galaxies, billions of years old, in all of its complexity and wonder and mystery and beauty, and he made that for you, and for me. And he made you out of love. You're far more important than you could ever imagine. And that more than that, he so loved the world that he sent his only son, that everyone who believed in him might not perish, but have eternal life. The reality that God became one of us, not simply because he loved us, and the Son, because he loves the Father, but because we were broken, right? We were sinners. We had separated ourselves off from the very life and love of God, from our own happiness, from one another, from our very selves. And so Jesus came, he not only became one of his own creatures, just like you and me, as we heard about in our second reading, but he did that so he could die, so you can live. Far more important than we think or imagine. Comes to mind as a starting point, as a, I would suggest, an important, even essential starting point as we hear today's readings, as we're called to reflect on how God calls us to live a certain way, particularly our first reading in our gospel. What are God's commandments? Jesus pointing to, here's the most important, the one on which all the others hinge. You and I are to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, every part of who you are, and to love our neighbor, to love one another as ourselves. They're connected. As Jesus says, all the other commandments come from that, depend on that. And there are other commandments. God commands certain things. And for all of us, when it comes to laws and commandments and obedience, and wherever we encounter it, we all have a reaction to that. Sometimes it can be very positive, and sometimes it can be other than that. But when it comes to God, it's to say God's commandments to us are not arbitrary. They're not some hoop that he's making us jump through so we can get some reward. They're based on the very fact of who he is and who we are, and they help us, they're the path to be able to lead us to happiness, to this relationship with God, heaven. And so it's to recognize, too, in all of us, there can be tendencies kind of to one extreme or the other, sometimes more one way or the other way, but sometimes we can have the tendency to approach God and to think about our faith and all of that as though it's only about the rules and the commandments and the laws. And our focus is almost solely on that and just what do I have to do, what do I don't have to do. And the other tendency can be to try and avoid or ignore those rules and laws. Today there's that reminder that if we approach God and our faith with that tendency as though it's only about rules or laws, we're going to be surprised, we're going to be confronted, we're going to be challenged by the fact that there is a passionate and a beautiful and a life-giving and a fierce love, God, that exceeds all of our laws, all of the laws that he gives us. As Paul said, we live in the Spirit, when we live in his life, his love, we're not following the laws anymore because we've exceeded them. But at the same time, that tendency that we might experience, we might see in ourselves to try to avoid or to ignore God's laws and commandments, we're going to, and maybe even based on that thought of, well, God is loving, God is merciful. So he's just going to kind of take care of it. He understands. We're going to be surprised and confronted and challenged by that same love, that same fierce, passionate, beautiful love that always has ambiguous and firm boundaries of what's good and right and what's wrong and evil because of who God is, because of who we are. And so it's to see then this call, this command from God as this invitation to be able to receive more of him, more of the very life that we're made for. And that all of his commands and all the other commands flow from that, that they're not arbitrary. And sometimes we can't fully understand them. Sometimes they're difficult, but it's not because God's commands themselves are some burden or some just some cross that he's making us suffer through, but it's because there's a part of us that is broken. And it's precisely, what does that mean? It means it's difficult to do the very good thing that we were made to do, and sometimes know and want to do, and that we fail to do that. We fail to love. But it's not because God's commands and his rules and his statutes are a problem, but they're also not the end. God is the end. So to be able to press in, the image that comes to mind that God himself gives us, that in fact he's raised to the level of a sacrament, is marriage. This past month here at St. Robert's, in my own interactions, just been with a lot of you, many celebrating 50, 60, even 70 years or more of marriage. And you know, just that experience that hopefully we've all had of being with married couples who have really persevered through all the challenges. And there are always great challenges in any relationship, but persevere through them and all that that means. And to be able to see that love that they have for one another, so amazing, so inspiring, not that they're perfect yet. But we get that kind of love a little more easily. But it's to be reminded that that's the image of our relationship with God and what we're made for. And so we kind of understand that love, whether we're married or not. It's the love of friendship as well. But to say it makes no sense, we get this, to say to somebody, well, I love you, but just on Sundays. The rest of the week, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. We'll find out. I'm going to be faithful to you on Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. But the other days of the week, I'm not sure yet. Maybe, maybe not. You say, well, that's not love. You say, we understand it makes no sense for someone to say, I love you, but I don't really care about what you're interested in or the things you love or what's important to you. You say, well, Father said, no, I didn't get that. Or to say to somebody, I love you, and so, okay, I'm not going to do this and I'll do that because that's somehow important to you, but I don't really want to spend any time with you. Are we done? Can I leave now? Say, what? That's not love. We know we're in love with someone. We want to be with them. We're interested in them. We've experienced that there's something good in that other person. And we're made for goodness. We're attracted to it like a magnet. And more than that, we are not made for ourselves. We're incomplete because God is a communion of persons. We encounter, we experience that. This need that we have. But also that need to do what's good for the other person. And that there is an obligation there, but it's the very obligation of love. And where that love exists, it brings the fulfillment and the joy and the zeal, the life, or the energy of life itself. That's what we're meant to have for God. And that's what God gives us in Jesus, is to recognize that. And so it's to see all of his commandments connected to this greatest of commandments. And Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, they have something to say about our lives. Because again, those two images, you know, or those two tendencies, just focus on the rules or try to avoid the rules, they're keeping God at a distance. Our pride is connected in some way. But it's a sense as though God is out there somewhere. Maybe he's a disinterested judge, and so I just got to do these things, and then he'll give me heaven. But of course, heaven is God himself. It's not just enjoying our favorite activity. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hopefully there are great activities there. Maybe it'll be the experience of our team winning all the time. Because if you win all the time, it's not as satisfying. But we're not made just for sports. We're made for God. To keep God at a distance, or it's to have that image of as though God were just some, as someone once put it, a benevolent uncle, rich benevolent uncle. And so I come to him in my need, and he cares about me, and he provides for what I can't get on my own, but there's no real obligation, there's no real responsibility, there's not that deep relationship like there is with a parent. Maybe I watch too many movies, but the image of a superhero comes to mind as well. And so God just swoops in and saves the day, and then he goes away, but he's not connected to my life. God is intimately connected to your life. You and I exist right now in this moment because God is willing you into existence, because you're important. Far more important than you imagine. And so he has something to say about every part of our life. And so to see all of his teachings and commandments, which we receive through his church, that faith that it's God himself revealing these things through scripture and tradition, that they're going to help us to love, to be the people he made us to be, whether it's when he teaches us about marriage, about sex, about being male and female, what God has to say about how we use our money and our material possessions, whether it's what God has to say about how we treat one another, especially the poor, the unborn, the elderly, the sick, the imprisoned, the migrant, the refugee, the homeless, how we speak to one another, all of these things. That's why God is teaching these things. And when it's hard, it's to recognize that rule is a gift, so it helps me to know where I need healing. And thanks be to God, we don't have to fix ourselves. It's not like, well, we just try harder to follow the rule, and then once we get it right, God will save us. No, it's to say, God comes to save me in my brokenness, what you cannot do on your own. And so it's to say, when I see that, to be confronted with this rule, I don't want to avoid it or ignore it anymore, even when it's hard, even when I don't understand it, because there is that opportunity for me to be healed. I've shared this before, so important. I'll share it again. If you've heard it before, great. St. Therese of Lisieux, this young woman who's dying of tuberculosis, and she was a nun, she was a Carmelite nun, so she's just there with her Carmelite nun sisters, and I guess she was impatient with one of them, and so one of them pointed that out. That was being impatient. I don't know about you, but I'm at the place where probably my first reaction would be, well, I'm dying here. Could you cut me a little slack? But she said, oh, thanks be to God. Another part of my heart I can share with Jesus. She was not afraid of God's command to love him with everything, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Even when she failed, because she knew that's why Jesus came. Be able to press in it. Just leave us with two hopefully simple things and how we can respond. The first is right from our scriptures, Jesus quoting the first reading. It says there, "Hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel." Israel was Jacob. It was, of course, the nation of Israel. Jesus is the new Israel. We're the new Israel. So Jesus, God is speaking to us. That word Israel is God renaming Jacob. That word means the one who wrestles with God. As Jacob wrestled all night with the angel of God, he was in a very difficult situation as well. He was running from one danger, and he was running right into another unknown, uncertain danger. God, wrestle with God. Sometimes we have to wrestle with God. Don't stop wrestling with God. Jacob wouldn't let him go until he busted. He'd be able to say, persevere in our prayer. Pray from the heart with your whole being. That's prayer. Some have used an acronym I'll share with you. I think it's helpful for this type of prayer, but think of R. Expresses that kind of wrestling with God. A-R-R-R-R. A, acknowledge. Share with God what's going on in your life, wherever you're at. Maybe it's just, God, I really hope my team will win today. That's mean God is going to answer each of our desires in the way we think, but what's going on? What are you doing? Are you happy, or are you grateful, or are you sad, or are you angry, afraid, frustrated, in pain? Acknowledge what's going on and share it with the Lord. That's it, to relate. Turn it into prayer. God is there to talk to you. He's not distant. That's prayer. And then respond, or receive. Relate, receive, respond. But wait for the Lord. Hear, O Israel. Receive. Sometimes we have to wait. Be patient. God, you haven't answered in 3 seconds. Okay, got to do something else. Sometimes you have to keep waiting and then respond. And the second thing is to wrestle with the Lord, but keep falling in love with God. Or fall in love with them for the first time, or fall back in love with God. Sometimes we talk about falling out of love. That's kind of possible, right? We understand what we're talking about. Well, I don't feel and want to relate to that person in the same way anymore. I don't want to be with them anymore. I don't want their presence, and I don't really, not feeling motivated to care for them and do things for them the same way and spend my life with them. Sometimes that happens because of things that have been done to us, sometimes things we've done to them. Always, in one way or another, at some point, we stop doing what's loving. We stop saying the loving thing and doing the loving thing. Think about that with God. Maybe you're in a place where you say, I've never fallen in love with the Lord. So Holy Spirit, just keep pressing in. Come, Holy Spirit. He's the very love of God. To grow in love, to fall back in love, the same thing. The Holy Spirit is that fire. He's the love of God. He's the passion. He's the zeal of God. God himself to animate you. We don't have to just do it on our own. But it is to be aware. How do I love God? Truly, how do I love my neighbor? One huge help is just to press in, to act on our faith. And right here, God is present. Jesus says one saving sacrifice could be present again at the Mass here in the moment. God is really present to you. Out of love for you. We don't see him eye to eye. We don't hear his voice like we hear one another's voice. Right? He's hidden. You say, with faith, I can know that. And if that's true, how might I show that love to God? How might I respond in love? And the same thing with one another. It would say each one of us, especially because we're in Jesus, but everyone we're going to meet made in God's image, think about who they are in God's eyes, who they really are, whether or not I experience that. Even think about how reason and science helps us to know that embryo, that new life in a woman's womb, that's a human being. They don't have eyes yet. They can't talk or cry. I can't pick them up. Can't even see them with my bodily eye, but you see there's new DNA there. That's a new human being. How will I act knowing that that's true? As we step out, we can be assured of God's love for us. And to always keep in mind that you and I are far, far more important than we think we are. So let's stand together and let us profess what we believe.